Good evening, everyone, and welcome. My name is Chip Edmonds, and I'm Vice President for College Advancement. I'm here with President Trochte tonight, and we are so thrilled to welcome some of you back and some of you for the first time for our third of five E-Town Hall meetings. And this evening, we're particularly excited because this is one where we think alumni will be and have particular interest and impact preparing, launching, and sustaining graduates on trajectories of success. So a recap of how these work. For those of you who have questions, all questions will be channeled online. You can hear us, we cannot hear you, so all of your questions should be channeled through the webinar online. We will then field those questions. I will place them before the president to be reviewed, and for you have an opportunity to suggest all kinds of things to us this evening. One particular thing we'd like to do a little bit differently this time is for you not only to submit questions, but ideas, thoughts, and examples that you've seen from other institutions, other colleagues that you've heard from about great ways that alumni are engaging in this whole enterprise of outcomes and careers for young graduates. With that very brief introduction and welcome, I'd like to turn it over to President Trochte for his opening remarks.
Thank you, Chip. And good evening, and let me extend my welcome also to those of you who are back again, as well as those of you who are joining us for the first time. Since we have a number of new participants, I'd like to begin by reviewing a little bit about our strategic planning process, and then I'll just say a couple of things to set up this evening's conversation as well. When I was named president at Lycoming back in November now of 2012, I had an opportunity to look at the institution, if you will, with fresh eyes. And what I saw was extraordinarily impressive. And during the time that I've been in office now, about 8 months, I've come more and more to believe that this is a moment of great opportunity for Lycoming College. I believe very strongly that we have the opportunity to advance the institution, deepen the learning experience that our students have, and improve the reputation so that we truly become recognized as one of the very best liberal arts colleges in the United States. To do that, or to move us forward in that direction, in consultation with the trustees, I decided to initiate a strategic planning process. Because while we have resources to work with at Lycoming College, it's very important that we choose how to utilize those resources in a way that will move us toward that larger objective. And the strategic planning, to frame the strategic planning process, I developed a set of questions in eight categories and created eight working groups on campus. Each one of the working groups is chaired by a member of the administration and a member of the faculty. And the working groups have been tasked with both responding to a set of strategic questions that I posed, but also to develop their own questions and their own ideas about how we might advance the institution across these categories. The one we're focusing on tonight, as Chip indicated, is the question of how best to prepare and launch and sustain Lycoming graduates on trajectories of success, and I might add, into lives of meaning as well. And this has become a very significant focus of higher education. We have a lot of pundits out there who are raising questions about the continuing value of a college education overall, and specifically about the value of a liberal arts education. And this particular area is part of the way in which we advance the value proposition for Lycoming College by being able to demonstrate outcomes that are significant and meaningful and exciting for potential students, and also by supporting our graduates as they advance into the work world and through their careers and their lives. And most of higher education right now is trying to rethink how we go about doing this. There's a general consensus that the old-fashioned model of career placement and career services is not really responding adequately to the factors that we face in trying to assist our graduates in getting out into the world and being successful. We have a very competitive job market. We have industries where the skills that are needed are changing rapidly. We have global competition that we're facing. The economy has been relatively slow to recover So this is a really a period kind of unlike any other in terms of what graduates need in order to be able to advance successfully. And so what we're trying to do in the industry and what I want us to do at Lycoming College is to rethink the model and to really ask ourselves, how do we put together something that delivers the service, if you will, the service of assisting graduates in figuring out what they want to do, get started on what they want to do, compete successfully for opportunities, compete as they advance through their careers. How do we develop a model that best does that, a delivery model that is new and exciting and probably departs from what has traditionally been the case both at Lycoming and in higher education more generally. So that's how I would frame our larger topic for tonight, and I really look forward to not only responding to your questions but really hearing some of your ideas about some of the things that Lycoming might do to be successful in this arena. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, President Trachte. Wanted to start out with a couple questions. The first one is question here about what role does career services play post-graduation? Clearly our students participate and engage in certain ways while they're here, but what are ways that career services can play a role in students' career paths once they graduate? For instance, does Lycoming offer any services for alumni who want to sharpen their skills or re-enter the workforce or go back to graduate school?
Chip, that's a really good question, and it's an important one. That's another feature of today's market. So one of the things that we know is that today's generation, as it passes through its 20s, is following a path that is significantly different than what has been the case perhaps for the last five decades or so. There's a couple of psychologists who have done some research, and they've developed this concept of early adulthood. And their argument is that whereas we used to think about passing directly from late adolescence into adulthood, we now have this stage in the 20s of early adulthood. And what that means is that in ways different than other generations, this generation, in part because of the circumstances that they face, are testing out career possibilities, testing out where they might live, testing out relationships for a much longer period of time than would have been the case previously. One of the simple indicators of this is that 25 or 30 years ago, the average age for marriage in the United States was 21. It's now approaching 28 years of age. And that's sort of an indicator that these years of early adulthood or early years after graduation are becoming important in a different kind of way. So part of the model that I want us to develop is a model that thinks about how do we systematically remain relevant to our young graduates as they go out and they test out a potential career path and they decide they want to go back to law school or they want to change direction and go to medical school or they want to get their MBA or they want to go and get a master's degree in psychology. Lycoming needs to be there to provide assistance and support in a systematic way as our young graduates rethink that path. Another example, a young graduate who would go out, say, and start with an interest in the field of communications, but actually finds that's not really their passion and discovers that there's another field that they want to get into. We should be able to develop an alumni network where we could help that graduate, Amy, for example, connect with alumni who are in the new field in which the graduate is interested so that they can do some informational interviews and understand how they could frame their resume to be successful in competing in this new field, perhaps be connected to some opportunities. And those are things that will be new structures for us. We do some of that stuff, I think, happens sort of episodically now by chance, where maybe a graduate calls Chip and Chip happens to know someone else who is in that field that they want to transition into, and Chip will arrange for them to be in touch with one another. And a lot of that happens on that kind of episodic basis, but I'd like to see us develop a more systematic approach where our alumni know that we're going to be there for them through their 20s, and in fact beyond that, but initially kind of focusing on that period of the 20s, because we're learning that it's such a critical phase in the transition away from college for young graduates today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So as you go along, I want to remind you, please be encouraged to start to submit your questions and ideas as we work through, and then any questions as they come up here on the screen, we'll be able to present those this evening. But next question, what kind of practical life skills are taught to Lycoming students so that they are prepared to manage their personal finances or understand the benefit options and needs and workplace expectations, etiquette? Where are students getting that these days?
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting, Chip. One of the things that I hear from employers is that those kind of soft skills are skills that many of the young people have not adequately developed when they get into the workforce today. I was at a meeting with the school district recently. Where a number of employers in Williamsport were invited to come and meet with the superintendent and the principal of the high school. Mm-hmm. And the principal and the superintendent were asking, in terms of high school graduates, what kind of skills are needed. And a lot of what they heard from the employers was precisely etiquette, understanding simple things like the importance of being on time in the workplace, how you interact with peers in the workplace, and so on and so forth. So this is something where we offer some programs now. Career Services will advertise programs of this sort. There was an etiquette dinner, or a couple of etiquette dinners earlier this semester. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is a challenge for us right now, though, is there are lots of good programs that get offered, but the participation level is not as high as we would like to see. And so I go back to one of my opening comments about developing new, more exciting delivery modes that understand the nature of this generation and, in effect, how to market these services to this generation. One of the things that I think we could do successfully would be a new program that we're starting this summer. We're starting a pilot program this summer, which is has the acronym WISE, W-I-S-E, and it stands for Williamsport Internship Summer Experience. And with the support of one of our trustees, we've developed this pilot program at this point, where we've identified employers in the Williamsport community who would like to have Lycoming graduates working as interns. Actually, about 40 employers have indicated an interest in doing this. And we will provide for the students a stipend so that those students who have to earn wages during the summer have the opportunity to participate in the program as well. And in addition to doing the internships, every Wednesday afternoon, the 20 students who will be selected will be coming to a seminar session where we expect to involve some alumni as well as some staff, and there will be a focus on some of these soft skills that you were talking about, as well as how to develop a resume, how to write a cover letter, how to prepare for an interview. Mm-hmm. So I think if we can develop a number of different exciting programs like that and embed some of these skills, the teaching of some of these skills in those programs, we'll probably get better levels of participation than the traditional mode of sending out an email and relying upon students to sign up. Mm-hmm. Students are already very busy doing lots of things.
Indeed they are.
You have to make it worth their while to come to things like this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let me turn here to one of our questions that has come from Beth Scruggs. Beth, I hope you're doing well. Thank you for your question tonight. You've asked, what about a return to college program that expedites the enrollment process by determining the required additional coursework to change careers? One concern for students is a lack of financial aid for postgraduates who wish to return to college. Mm-hmm. How can Lycoming address these issues? That's a great question. Would you like to respond to that one?
Yeah, I think it is a great question, because this connects to the point I was making about this concept of early adulthood and how we need to understand the life cycles of our graduates now and be responsive to those life cycles. So I think the notion that you're suggesting, Beth, a systematic approach to making it possible for students to pursue some additional coursework at Lycoming is an interesting one. It's actually not one that has surfaced yet in our strategic planning process, and I'm going to be certain to channel it to the group. I have a couple of thoughts about it. One of the challenges I think will be the issue of geography. So this would obviously work for a graduate who was in the Williamsport region, or someone who was in a position where they could afford to come back and live in Williamsport for a year. But it wouldn't probably work for that graduate who has to continue at their current job while they're trying to prepare for their next job. So if it's not about earning a degree, but maybe it's about earning two or three courses, one of the things that I'd actually like us to explore is whether we might be able to get into a consortium with some other liberal arts colleges where we might be able to offer online some of these courses that might be needed to make a career transition. For example, a lot of liberal arts graduates don't take accounting when they're here because they think it couldn't possibly be relevant to their career. But if you get out there and you're even working in a sector like the nonprofit sector and you rise to a management position, you suddenly realize that it would be great if you had some basic background in accounting. There may be a way that if the demand is there, and I'm not sure we would have enough demand with just Lycoming, and so that's maybe why I'm thinking three, four, or five colleges in a consortium, that we could create some kind of small, modest online program that could assist our graduates. Financial aid is certainly a relevant question, and I think that's probably an issue of pricing. And Beth, I think we need to look at how we could make it affordable for a Lycoming graduate who needs to come back and get some extra courses or get a certification, could perhaps do so more easily. Very good suggestion.
Well, great. Along those same themes, Denise Bartholomew submitted in some ways a question, but I think also some good suggestions for us. And Denise, you clearly, as a young graduate, remember well some of the programming that you did here. But you referenced, being just turning 30, I've just exposed your age to everyone, I hope that's okay, have a fresh outlook on what you believe is necessary to support yourself or others on a pathway of success. And I believe Lycoming, you're suggesting Lycoming can do a bit more than some of the PDRs, the old private dining room kind of experiences, which we've been talking a little bit about, which are really the surface level kind of opportunities that we create for students while they're still here. But then you go on to say, to some kind of life skills class or basic issues such as managing personal finances and budgeting, real estate, do I buy versus rent, owning a vehicle, lease versus rent, health insurance, long-term financial stability, all those really important questions that if you ask at the right time in your life, you're far better off in the long term. So really some great thoughts here, Denise, and I'll turn again to you to see if you just, similar to what we've been discussing, but yeah, along the same lines of how do we inculcate our students early so that they can be on a good trajectory immediately after graduation.
I agree that this is another important area. So first thing I would say is we're actually experimenting with this a little bit right now. There's a course, a non-credit course, that's being offered. I believe it is two Saturdays for 3 hours a Saturday by two of the faculty in the business department. Or I think maybe it's one faculty from economics and one from business. And they're addressing exactly some of the questions that that you're raising right here, Denise. And it was interesting, the initial registration rate from students was relatively disappointing, and so we went out with another round of advertising, and we eventually kind of got a critical mass. And this takes me back again to that question of, how do you effectively market to students who are busy doing other things like you were when you were here, the need to do this? It's unlikely at a liberal arts college that you're going to have a four-credit course that would be a life skills class. It doesn't really fit with the ethos of the institution, and so what we have to do is find ways in the co-curriculum to market things that have enough value. One of the things that I've learned in my experience is that if you do something as a pilot and it goes really well and students experience it as having value, the next time you offer it, because word of mouth is such an effective form of marketing at a liberal arts institution like Lycoming, a small college like Lycoming, instead of having 20 students, now you've got 40 or 50 students. And then if they have a good experience, then you start to get 100 students or 150 students. So I think the key to this is actually to find lots of different places to embed the opportunity to learn these things. I would see, for example, in this internship program that we would pay attention to issues like personal financing, the question of whether to buy or rent real estate, whether to own a vehicle or lease a vehicle, some of those kinds of questions as well. So I don't think a class will work. I think we're going to have to be even more creative than that in finding a way to help our graduates know these really essential kinds of things.
Great. Thank you. So maybe taking this another layer deeper in terms of what networking really should look like for our graduates and what kind of vehicles do we need to create for them in order to have those really solid networking experiences. And so the question here is, what does Lycoming have to enhance networking between students and alumni?
And Chip, I think I'm going to throw this one back at you. Since I've been answering all the questions, I'm going to turn the tables, since you oversee alumni relations, and maybe ask you to talk a little bit about some of the things that currently go on that are going on in terms of creating alumni network, both to assist other alumni and also mm-hmm. for alumni to support students. And then I may add some things in terms of what I hope we can accomplish through our strategic plan. So
that would be great.
Answer for a change.
I appreciate that. Sure. Well, I'll tell you what I find continually inspiring is how our alumni really do want to engage on deep and meaningful levels. Mm. And that is the hallmark of really great institutions, alumni who want to support in a myriad of ways to really enhance the opportunities for students of today and what their lives can look like post-Lycoming. Mm. And so for us, it is finding a way to appropriately harness that excitement, energy, and willingness, and matching that with the potentiality within our student body and what those opportunities are. And so what we have done recently is we've started a network and mentoring program. And so alumni now have it's a database, so to speak, where we have begun to collect alumni in all different industries, in all different sectors, who have an interest in doing everything from having an initial conversation with a graduate or a rising senior, alumni who are willing to offer and in a position to provide internship opportunities. Internships continue to play a stronger, more critical role for students. 70% of the new jobs that are created now are filled by people who held internships with those organizations. Alumni who are in a position to hire. Harnessing those activities into one location has been a real part of what we're trying to do to more fully engage and enable our alumni to do the things that they are eager to do. So we're in the early stages of that, but we feel pretty excited about where it has the potential to go. That's one area.
And the strategic working group that's been in this area has actually come up with an interesting extension of what Chip was talking about. They're recommending the creation of a really sort of multifaceted, powerful online resource that can be utilized both for informational purposes but also for networking purposes. And I know of a couple of institutions that have moved in this direction. I am not an expert in information technology, so I don't know the exact form that this might take. But we know, for example, that LinkedIn is something that a lot of professionals utilize today to make professional connections when they're interested in searching for a new job, to find a mentor, to find somebody who might be able to connect them. And one of the things that I know this group is wondering about is, can we kind of create a LICO LinkedIn where we can facilitate our alumni and our students both being able to join a group where the mentoring and the networking could take place electronically and not just in person. And I think this idea is going to come out of the strategic planning process, and then we'll have to work with our information technology people and others to determine what the cost would be to putting something like that in place. Is there a piece of software that's already out there that someone has developed that we could purchase and utilize? Some of our alumni may know the answer to that question, but I see us extending this and really making use of technology and social media to enhance the power of our networking possibilities.
Well, thank you. That was actually a terrific segue, because I was going to make one other comment in terms of, you brought up the technologies that exist in order to do that, and speaking of LinkedIn, there is a new software program called Evertrue, and we have started to look at this in alumni relations and in development, because what it does is it harnesses the power of LinkedIn to connect our alumni through our own database. There's no commingling of that information, but instead we could have an alum who is in Washington, D.C., and they can go into Evertrue, and through the power of LinkedIn, it will create that connection of Lycoming College as the common denominator, and they can see in an instant where our Lycoming, their fellow Lycoming alumni are in the D.C. area within striking distance of where they are, what industry or career they are. So we see many exciting ways that we can begin to use technology to get our alumni to interact even more. So I'm going to now field another question here from Aaron Dunleavy. Aaron, thanks for your question here. You're suggesting here a preemptive attempt to engage with the students while they're still at Lycoming might be more useful in terms of finding a career development. And so you're asking, has there been a push to adjust the curriculum to require more career interaction as zero credit course or experience? I know that it was hard for me to do many of the events described because I was so focused on graduating and not on the next step. Fortunately, I was able to use my liberal arts education at Lycoming to think outside the box and find a career that used many of the skills that I used. And so I think this ties in really very well, perfectly appropriate question with right. some of the things we've been discussing. Yeah.
One of the ideas that is also surfacing in the strategic planning process might very well speak to what you're suggesting here. Currently, there is one group of academic departments that have a cluster, the Institute for Management Studies, IMS. One of the things that defines that Institute for Management Studies is that there is a person who is a designated career coordinator for the disciplines of accounting, business, and economics. Her office is located right in the area where all the faculty offices are. And so every time students go to visit a faculty member, they pass right by her office, which makes it a kind of a convenient one shopping area. In addition, the faculty in those three disciplines will work with the career coordinator to develop exercises and activities that connect in a kind of the kind of non-credit way that you're suggesting, Aaron, to the work that they're doing in different courses. One of the ideas that has surfaced in the strategic planning process is, since this seems to have worked so well, and I've had a number of current students and recent graduates tell me that it does, since this seems to have worked so well, why not try to replicate it? Why not, for example, take a cluster of sciences like physics and chemistry and biology and astronomy, and create another career coordinator position, locate the career coordinator among those departments, have a cluster. Why not take the arts like music and studio and art history and theater and I'm missing one, Chip.
Humanities?
The arts departments, yeah. and cluster them together similarly. Why not take the social sciences? There's a number of things you could accomplish there. First of all, the person who's working in the office can kind of develop a range of expertise about what students and alumni in those particular disciplines do. They can create a network of alumni around their particular function, and they can work with faculty in the spirit of the no credit option that you suggested, Aaron, to have faculty require of students activities or exercises that get them thinking about careers, get them testing out career possibilities. Another really important thing to do here that Chip mentioned earlier is internships. We have a fair number of students right now who do internships during their time at Lycoming. In some disciplines, it's required. But my sense is that it's not universal enough yet. And you know, and all of us who are in the work world know, that internships are a really good way to test out a career interest. They're also a really good way to open a door. As Chip indicated, something like 70% of the jobs that that people get are connected to some internship that they've done, often at the very same firm. They're also a way to strengthen your resume. They're really kind of a way to transition and prepare yourself for work. The faculty are about to approve some revisions to the curriculum, which will include an expectation that every student do what they're calling an enhanced academic experience. And internships, along with research with faculty and study abroad opportunities and community-based learning experiences and other things, are examples of how a student will be able to satisfy that. So both in a non-credit way and in a kind of indirect credit way, I think we're trying to move in the direction of exactly what you're suggesting, Aaron. And if you have other ideas, you know, please send them along to us so we can incorporate them into our thinking.
Along those same lines, how is the college, once they get these internship experiences, how is the college better preparing students to understand the importance of these, and how they begin to demonstrate them verbally in an interview, or to actually help those things translate to better explain what it is that they've done and how that applies and how that will enhance their ability to do the job for which they're applying it?
This is another really good question. This is one of the things that about which I've gotten a lot of feedback from alumni as I've been traveling around the country and meeting so many of you. And that is, when you have opportunities to interview recent college graduates, you might ask the college graduate, for example, you might notice on their resume that they did research with Professor Zimmerman in the Clean Water Institute. And so you might ask a question, oh, I noticed you did some research with Professor Zimmerman in the Clean Water Institute. And what often happens with someone who's not experienced in doing interviews is they will describe the nature of the research that they did in the Clean Water Institute in a way that another academic would find very interesting, and in a way that would probably help them gain admission to a graduate program in which they were going to be studying water resources. But in a different kind of employment situation, when that question's being asked, what the interviewer is often looking for is to see what skills the student has developed, or the recent graduate developed, through that research experience. Those of us who've been out in the work world know that through a research experience, you learn how to frame questions the right way, you learn how to collect information or data that you need to answer questions, you know how to synthesize that information, you know how to draw conclusions, you know how to cogently summarize what you found. If the young graduate can talk about their research experience with Professor Zimmerman in a way that reflects those skills that are going to be valuable in the work world, that is more powerful in an interview situation than simply being able to talk about that. So then the question is, how do we enable students to do that? It's not really their fault or their failure that they don't know how to do that. Just like any other thinking skill or communication skill that we hope students will acquire during their Lycoming experience, we need to be intentional about teaching that. And so again, you know, I go back to this notion that we have to be creative in designing delivery modes where students will learn that particular skill. It won't be enough to just create a website and say interviewing tips, and expect all the students to go to the website that says interviewing tips and absorb that. They get bombarded. This generation gets bombarded with a lot of information. So you have to figure out, well, how do you make it interesting and attractive? From my experience, creating programs that have some substance, that are competitive to get into, that have regular meetings, these are the kinds of things that this generation responds to very well. And so, again, I go back to, you know, the Willing Support internship summer experience is a small pilot at this point, but I'm expecting us to learn a lot from this pilot so that we can replicate similar kinds of experiences where we can embed learning about interviewing, and where actually you would be sitting across from me and I would say, so Chip, tell me about the research you did with Professor Zimmerman, and you would then talk about it and I could provide you with some critical feedback. Well, as an interviewer, I'd be more interested in having you talk about it this way, and then you get to practice that skill and, as I said, be prepared to compete for the opportunities that Life Homing students deserve.
Absolutely. Thank you. So this is, again, along those same lines, but job fairs at Life Homing offers seem to be geared toward business students. Does Life Homing have plans to diversify the types of employers presented at job fairs? So, you know, I'll take it, maybe it's just job fairs, maybe it's more broadly. You know, we often hear, years ago there were so many people lining up from corporations to hire graduates. That market has changed quite a bit. So what are some of those tools? Is it more college, or is it more career fairs? And how do we diversify that in terms of opportunities for students?
So Chip, I think we're frozen on the screen right now. And so
yes, we are.
and I noticed that I'm frozen in gesturing with my hands. So we apologize to our viewers that you don't have a live image anymore. Hopefully you're still able to hear us. Amy, are they still able to hear us at this point?
I believe they're able to hear you.
Okay. If you can hear us, if anyone can hear us, send us a quick note that you tell us, and then we will continue to...
Still here. Aaron just texted me.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay.
I'm glad you can. And hopefully we'll be able to fix the video problem at some point. We apologize for that technological difficulty, but I think even the Super Bowl has experienced technological difficulties in recent years. So.
Indeed.
Hopefully you'll still find this interesting. So Chip, if you could repeat the question,
I was
actually distracted by my frozen image on the screen.
Yeah, the question was related to job fairs,
yes.
And many of them being geared largely toward business students.
Yep.
How do you broaden what kinds of things are there, and is it just job fairs, or is it really a much broader mechanism that's there today?
So let me talk a little bit about job fairs. One of the trends that we've seen, and those of you who hire people will know this better than I do, is that fewer and fewer employers actually go on campus or go to a job fair. More and more, again, electronic modes of communication are utilized. I mean, we're in the process of hiring a new vice president at the college, and we didn't have any face-to-face communication until we got to the semifinal stage. We relied upon an electronic application process and so on. And so this characterizes, obviously, other fields as well. And so really, I think the question is, how do we find opportunities for our graduates that go beyond business and go into the fields of nonprofit and the public sector as well? We're working at creating those kinds of opportunities. So, for example, with this summer internship program that I've mentioned several times, I specifically directed that we needed to develop some job opportunities in the public sector, with government, we needed to develop some opportunities with nonprofits, and we needed to develop some opportunities in a variety of different businesses. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we've been successful in doing that. Mm-hmm. And we have alumni who are successful across that spectrum of job opportunities. And so as we develop the electronic means of being able to connect students to job opportunities, we're really going to need to rely upon our alumni who are in a broad variety of fields to help us create those opportunities. We will be hiring additional people in this area over the next couple of years Next year, for example, we're going to hire somebody whose primary responsibility is the cultivation and development of internship opportunities for students. We've never had that before, to my knowledge, at Lycoming, somebody who's devoted primarily to that task. And we will be hiring people who will be devoted to employer cultivation, and again, not just business, but employer cultivation across the spectrum of interests that our students have. But it probably won't be job fairs where students will find that. It'll probably be the use of the modern technology that most companies employ now when they're searching for new employees.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Greg Hart, I see your question here. Greg, I hope you're doing well, and you open up an interesting topic here, and that is you kind of harken back to our conversation about helping students and alumni looking at finding resources to find out what they want to do, what they really enjoy. As we know, that's a big part of the challenge early on. The sooner you can identify that, the more likely you can be on a trajectory that you're really going to enjoy. But you talk about and bring up the idea of other resources that are available beyond Lycoming's campus, beyond what we can offer, but perhaps where we can be more intentional about forging relationships. And you talk about it both in terms of federally mandated career one-stop organizations, one-stop career centers like the PA Career Link, which assists people in gaining job search skills that they need. And you point out, I've not heard much about how Lycoming may be able to partner with public organizations available through the U.S. Department of Labor and PA Department of Labor and Industry to assist students and graduates in gaining necessary job-seeking skills. And then your question, is that something that Lycoming may be interested in doing in the future? Great question, Greg.
Well, I think I would say Lycoming is interested in doing almost anything that will afford our graduates more opportunities to find employment and get launched on their careers and so on and so forth. This is an interesting idea. It's not one that I've actually encountered in my career. I know of examples, for example, in the area of nonprofits, that there are some very rich online resources that our career center or centers could tap into, but I'm not really familiar with the establishing connections with government organizations. And so, you know, I'd love for you to write a little bit more fully and describe how that possibility might work, or give Chip a call or give me a call and let us learn a little bit more about what you have in mind, and we'll funnel this idea into the strategic planning process and explore how we can establish those kinds of links. So thanks for that suggestion. That's something that hasn't come up yet.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Greg. I want to turn back to, again, based on some questioning here that's been thematic, but perhaps taking a step back as the president, Ken, as you spoke to in the beginning, you said we're sort of a lot of pundits out there describing or saying that, you know, what is the value of a liberal arts degree today, and how is it that our graduates can add and speak to the value of all the things that they do that enrich their academic experience, that are either co-curricular, we've talked about internships and practicums, but how do we better help our students speak to the broad experiences and how they can really enhance the resume and help them get not only their first job, but lead to a successful trajectory over the long term?
Well, that's another important question, Chip, and I'm sure all the alumni know that there's a lot of chatter out there in the public spaces, various places, both electronic and print media and television, but lots of different places about asking the question, does a liberal arts education continue to have relevance? In fact, there are some people who ask the question, does a college degree still pay off today? Interesting, on the second question, I just read a recent study that indicates that over a lifetime, the earning difference for someone that has a college degree versus someone who does not have a college degree is now approaching about $1 million. So if you think of of the investment that you make in a college education, even though it's very expensive today, that investment is going to pay off over the course of a lifetime. Even starting salaries on average for college graduates versus people who do not have a college degree, there is a significant difference. Of course, there are exceptions to that. There are some technical areas where the starting salary is very high paid. But on average, if you look at the population, it's clear that that's the case. With a liberal arts education, I agree that liberal arts colleges in general, and Lycoming is and other places where I've worked fit into this category as well, we haven't done a good enough job getting our message out into the market, if you will, about the value of a liberal arts education. I'll give you another example. I read a recent study that was done by the AACU, the American Association of Colleges and Universities. They surveyed a large number of employers, and they asked employers, what are the skills that you're most looking for in today's graduates? And the employers talked about things like critical thinking skills, problem solving, ability to communicate in writing, ability to communicate orally, the kinds of things that employers also, in the latter part of the survey, associated most with liberal arts graduates. And so employers, particularly employers who are operating larger organizations that perhaps are functioning on a national or global scale, really understand still what the value of a liberal arts education is. But that message isn't out there in the market, particularly the market of prospective students and their families, as powerfully as it should be. And so organizations like the Organization of Independent Liberal Arts Colleges are actually developing a messaging strategy to get that out there. That's part of what we need to and will be doing at Lycoming as well. One of the emphases within this strategic plan is going to be to strengthen our marketing capacity. And part of what we will need to do is to get that message out more effectively, both for in order to attract new students, but also so that our graduates, when they are going out there, understand that. One of the most powerful things that I think we can actually do, and this comes again because I've been traveling around the country meeting alumni, is collect some of the stories of our alumni. And I think that probably out of the strategic planning process, we'll probably start a systematic effort to collect stories from alumni of Lycoming College who have succeeded in different ways in their lives and careers. Not all in one sector, not all on the basis of the amount of money that they earn, but different ways in which they've been successful, are contributing to their communities, are enjoying rich lives. Collecting those stories and having those be part of the materials that we disseminate through our marketing to the various entities that to which we need to market: prospective students, employers, our graduates, and I see us reaching out and really collecting a lot of alumni stories and utilizing those as part of how we present Lycoming. We do it to some extent now, but again, it's about being deeper and more systematic than we've been up until this point.
Yeah, thank you for that. Now, if I may just make a couple additional remarks on that before we go to some of our closing statements here for this evening. Your comment about, or I wanted to turn a little bit more again to this alumni network and how we can develop it, and what you can expect from us, and what we really hope you will go out and tell your fellow alumni. And that is that whether it's our homecoming, whether it's alumni weekend, the president just spoke to many of the events that are taking place regionally and across the country. We are leaving no stone unturned this spring as we get out to many of the different cities where our alumni reside and live and have an impact. And it is our desire to find more significant, broad ways that you can engage with us. And so we hope that through this opportunities like this evening, but coming back on campus. This for homecoming this fall, we're looking at an event that will pair current students with some of our graduates who are in different industries to begin some of those initial conversations, to explore pathways and trajectories for them. So we hope you will partner with us to enable us to really build this solid network of alumni who can impact this institution in many ways and in significant ways, because that is the true work, that's the true measure of Lycoming College, is not solely who we accept, not solely who we graduate, but the people that they go on to be long after they leave here. And there's no question that our 14,000 living alumni can have a tremendous impact on that. And so with that final statement about what we're hoping we will build with your participation in terms of our alumni network and resources, I will turn it back over to the president for any closing remarks that he would like to make.
So I understand that you might be able to see us now? No. Okay. I thought I saw a note that that you were actually able to see us now. So you're listening to us on the radio, essentially. First of all, thank you for participating, but also thank you for your indulging our technological difficulties this evening. And I love the questions that I've heard, the suggestions that have been made. I really appreciate those of you who chose to participate tonight. I want to go back to the larger question of the strategic plan and where we're going for just a second. And I just want to reiterate that as I have gone around the country, and I don't actually know how many cities I've been in at this point in time, but it's more than 10. It's probably, Amy's nodding, it's probably 15 or 20 cities at this point in time. It's been just fabulous for me to meet with Lycoming alumni and to really gain a greater appreciation of the difference that this place makes in people's lives. I can't tell you how many people have told me that they owe what they become to the time that they spent at Lycoming College. And that, hearing that kind of thing is really inspiring to those of us who work here, because it helps us remember the kind of difference that an institution like Lycoming College can make, not only in people's lives, but make in the world through the lives of those people that are touched and impacted by being here. And with that as a kind of, that is in effect kind of the core motivation for everything that we do here, including the strategic planning process, to deepen even more the kind of impact that this college has on the young men and women who attend the college, and through deepening even more to begin to enhance the reputation of the institution. But then we also recognize that we have to be conscious about projecting the image of the institution out there to the rest of the world so that it understands just what an incredible educational experience this college offers. This particular area that we've been talking about tonight, preparing and launching and sustaining graduates on trajectories of success, and as I said, I would add lives of meaning, is really kind of what it's all about ultimately. The purpose of the 4 years is exactly that, to prepare those of you who have been here and to prepare those who will come, who are here now and who will come behind, to prepare them for the things that they want to do in life, for the differences that they want to make. And I see in the early parts of the strategic planning process a real innovative spirit around this question, and I can promise you that is, you know, not going to be just adding one additional position in career services or something of that sort. It's really going to be about developing an exciting, innovative model where, as graduates of Lycoming, you can be out there and talk to others about what your institution is doing, not only to launch new graduates, but to support and assist you as you continue on through your careers. And if we can get to the point where we can say that, we will know that we have had some success in our strategic planning process.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, President Trachte. And as a final word here, another word of encouragement, to get involved, to do all that you can to help your alma mater through admissions, to helping us recruit new students, through alumni events, career services, as we've been talking about tonight, class agents, class scribes, volunteer at Alumni Weekend and Homecoming, and help get your alumni back to learn more and to re-engage with their alma mater. This is truly an exciting time to be a part of the Lycoming community. And finally, there's a question here from Jessica. How can we continue to give feedback? And so you are giving me my perfect segue to close out the evening. We will send an email to all of you who are with us tonight as a way to continue the dialogue and your interaction with us. And we also hope that you'll join us this coming Tuesday for our next E-Town Hall meeting, in which we will be discussing how we can better integrate the residential experience and the liberal arts. So thanks again for being with us tonight, and good night.